The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.
You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine and KUCI.org on the net. Welcome to Prescriptions for Healing Conflict. I'm Lloyd, I'm the show's engineer, and your host is Mari Frank. Mari's been an attorney mediator for 26 years, and during that time she's resolved thousands of disputes as a neutral conflict healer. She's a member of the Orange County Superior Court Mediation Panel, and she's been a law professor of negotiations and mediation, and presently teaches negotiations right here at UCI. She's the author of Negotiations Breakthroughs and co-author of Stepping Stones to Success and several other books. To listen to previous interviews, see upcoming guests, download podcasts, and learn more, visit www.conflicthealing.com. So, Mari, what's your show about today?
Well, Lloyd, today our show is about relationship and religion. And in fact, I have this wonderful book in front of me called Religion Versus Relationship, Discovering the God I Always Knew There Was. I knew was there, rather. And this is by Randy Hammond. Randy is a new friend of mine who we happen to share office space up in Laguna Niguel, and he's a wonderful guy. And I found out about this book when I was actually interviewing him on his The Safe Money System book and for our other show. But Randy and I share a lot of thoughts about this that are very similar. And when we talk about relationship to God, to spirit, to whatever you want to call as your higher power or whatever else, that's really the most important thing. And often religion itself and the differences in religion causes fights, causes war, causes killing. And so one of the issues about dealing with conflict is recognizing what's important to us about our relationship with our God or whatever you want to call that spirit. So today, let me tell you a little bit about Randy. If you haven't heard my other show and heard him talking about the relationship of money and how important that is and how you deal with money, you really need to know a little bit about him as his relationship with God. Randy Hammond is the founder of My Retirement Coach, Inc., and he played professional baseball for 11 years, doing his undergraduate and MBA work at Loyola University in Los Angeles, and he has successfully translated the disciplines and winning attitudes that he had as a professional baseball player into his financial advisory practice for over 30 years. As I said, he's the author of The Safe Money System, but then he was kind enough to give me this wonderful book, Religion Versus Relationship, and it's a story of how he came to accept an offer he couldn't refuse, as he says, and it's about his spiritual journey, and it helps you to think about your spiritual journey. Now, I'm not here to talk about so-called religion, and you'll see that Randy isn't either. He's talking about a relationship, and a relationship, as like I said, with Mother Nature, God, or whatever you want to call that being, that essence that is around us and through us and makes everything in this world. So we see it a little bit different, but I think there's a lot more that Randy and I see similarly, and so we're going to talk about it. So Randy, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, Mari, thank you for that nice introduction, and I hope I live up to it.
Okay, great. Well, the subtitle of your book, Religion Versus Relationship, is Discovering the God I Always Knew Was There. So you want to talk to us about your discovery process?
Sure. I'm 60 years old now, and I was raised in Southern California as a Roman Catholic. I went all through Catholic grammar school, all boys Catholic high school, and then I went to Loyola University, which is Jesuit run and you know, pretty intense. They got some pretty good theology courses and whatnot there as it pertains to the Catholic religion. And I always took it pretty serious. I became a Catholic because I liked the kids in the neighborhood who had the salt and pepper pants and the white shirts, and all the neighbors were seen to be Catholics, and that's actually how I became a Catholic. I wanted to go to school with them. And then I got baptized as a Catholic at 8 years old and went through the system. What I discovered in my journey, which was a journey that was very rigid, very religious, very traditional, a lot of do-dos and don't-don'ts, a lot of guilt and a lot of shame if you didn't live up to the expectations of the do-dos and don't-don'ts. And I finally just came to a place about 20 to 22 years old when I was playing professional baseball. And I was, you know, a good guy, but like everybody else that's religious, you're always weighing it against somebody else or something else. You know, the scales, if you will, of balance. You know, I always said, I always joked that if there's 100 points on the quiz in religion and you get 99 right, but you get one wrong, you're guilty. And that guilt and what to do with it always bothered me. In the Roman Catholic Church, you never really knew from one day to the next how you actually measured up to your relationship with God and if that was going to eventually be an existence in heaven or eternal punishment in hell. So that was kind of my process. I always knew God was there. I never had any issues about God, but I had a whole lot of issues having to do with relating to Him, praying to Him, receiving from Him, and understanding Him.
Exactly, and that's unfortunate. With a lot of religions, you sometimes have to go through someone else to get to God, and so that's kind of unfortunate because we look at God as really outside of us, as not really connected with us.
Well, what's interesting is I have a quote in my book, and I wasn't even aware that I had made the quote. You know, the person who transcribed and helped me, you know, edit the book and so forth. All of a sudden, I get to about 10 pages into the book, and one of the things that I said in regard just in that point about how do you get in touch with God and how do you, you know, relate to God and so forth, the essence of my journey with God is that I got tired as a Roman Catholic of being told that I had to talk to God by going through his mom or one of his dead associates.
Exactly.
And that was pretty much the difference between my relationship with God today, which is I go directly through him, and what I had before, which is I didn't know if I was on if I was on hold, voicemail, or what.
Exactly. And don't you think, you know, as we look at the world right now, so much of the fighting and the hatred is because of the judgments of religions of each other. And that just pains me when I think of the various religions and what their true essence is love, right?
Well, I think every great religious leader forever, I don't care, going back to the time of Christ, to the Jewish prophets, you know, the Abrahams, the Isaacs, the Moses, the Jacobs, the King David, Solomon, whatever you want to talk, and then go through Jesus and go all the way to Muhammad, go all the way, you know, to Gandhi, go all the way to, you
Buddha,
know,
yeah.
Buddha, all of them.
Yeah.
I think they're all trying to say this. Love God as you see him to the best of your ability and treat others the way you want to be treated. Well, Jesus had a great parable, and he said, you guys have got all these laws. You Jews have all these laws. And I'm going to make this real simple for you. I'm going to sum up everything that's in the old, what we call the Old Testament as Christians. And it's summed up like this. If you love God with everything you got, and you love others the way that you want to be loved, you fulfill all the law.
Right. So why do they make it so tough? I mean, that really what Jesus said is the same thing that is taught in so many religions.
Well, a lot of psychologists will tell you, and a lot of pastors and rabbis and you know, other religious thinkers will tell you that there's love And then there's the antithesis of love.
Yep.
Didn't say that right, but you get my drift.
Yeah.
What a lot of people think that hate is the antithesis of love. It's not.
It's fear.
Selfishness. Well, I think it's selfishness.
Yeah.
See, I think that there's, if you're talking about love, love never puts one's self-interest first. It's always looking at how can I love and be a blessing and give to somebody else. And therefore, when I do that, I will receive, you can call it karma, you can call it good fortune, you can call it sowing what you reap, but if you love, you receive love. You know, fear, it, to me, has always been the opposite of faith. Faith is, okay, I'm driving along 100 miles an hour, my car seems like it's out of control, I know the owner's manual says hit that brake and not that gas if I want to stop, so I'm going to make a faith action that says hit the brake because that's what the owner's manual told me to stop. If I have fear, that means I don't trust the owner's manual, and I'm going to drive along and say, well, I sure intend to stop, but I'm not going to take the action to stop because I'm afraid it won't work.
Yep.
And that's, to me, the essence of the difference between a person who faves. It's not your religion. It's your action based on belief.
Mm-hmm.
Supported by confidence that whatever it is that you're believing in is going to work.
Yes, yes. And trusting. You know, when I do mediation and I'm sitting there with people who are in conflict, sometimes they feel they hate each other, but basically I see a lot of fear in them too. They are fearful of what the other one will say, what the other one will do, what the other one will think. They don't have trust. And so all those negative beliefs really interfere with our ability to have a relationship with God. Because if you're relating with God, you're able to do like what you said. You're starting to think about what's the best interest of everybody, not just me in this room. What's the best interest of everybody so we can get a fair deal? Because you do want to be fair to yourself and you want to be fair to others.
So well, if we look at children, and I always tell people, if you want to really understand how God relates to us, look at any of us that have had kids. We know that when you get a 2-3-year-old kid and they want something and you take it away from them, there's hell to be paid, right?
Yeah.
And the essence is that that person at that development of their life is absolutely self-absorbed and selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have not developed yet to the point of understanding that that behavior or that attitude not only does not work, but it isn't conducive to fostering relationship.
Right, right.
So I think that when we you talk about mediation or you talk about conflict, and how I think that my faith in God and my relationship with God as opposed to my understanding of religious precepts, where the relationship has helped me is I'm able to look at that situation and look and say, well, if I was in that person's situation, what would I think of me? What would I want me to do to resolve this conflict? And if it's reasonable, you know, where it's not putting me at harm or my family at harm or whatever,
right.
I'm gonna approach it that way and try to find some common ground, because we just don't know what we don't know, and we don't know why people are so jacked up in their thinking, how they were raised, who did them wrong, who betrayed them. There is a, you know, a funeral procession of U-Hauls behind everybody as far as baggage. It's not just one or two suitcases. I call it a funeral procession.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and that's just stuff that we don't know. We don't know. So then we have to approach this from the basic concept of I want to do right more than anything else. And doing right sometimes is not that favorable to me because I'm selfish.
Right.
So we approach it. That's the way we approach it.
Yeah. So, you know, in all the great religions, which they all are great when you get down to the basics, in all the great religions, the people who walk the talk, the real talk, are the ones that can heal conflict, are the ones that can build bridges, are the ones that can build relationships, because they're really connected with their God essence, with their relationship with God, and they're walking their talk. And I think that's what's so frustrating when we see people attacking other people's religions, even, you know, in our upcoming election, people are attacking each other for what their religion is or whatever. It just, to me, if you walk your talk and you're connected to God, that, and you're doing good in the world, that's what really counts.
You're so right, Maury, because, you know, I know a lot of people think whether they're Jehovah's Witnesses or Christians or Mormons, they have a, we'll call it a recruiting process to simplify it, and everybody understands what that means. And part of the recruiting process is that you're going to people who you're trying to recruit, and those people are looking at the resume of your life, if you will, right? I mean, they're looking at people who really, you know, if I'm sitting down with friends or people who have known me, they're looking at how I've treated my wife, how I treat my kids, how I treat my business associates, how I treat myself, you know, my health. Am I an alcoholic or a raging drunk or a sex addict? They know me. People, your friends and family, and you know, they know you.
Yes.
So when you're sitting down and you're trying to tell somebody about what they should be doing, people don't realize that when they say, well, go out and witness to people, you're not telling them anything. They're witnessing your behavior. That's what witnessing is.
Yes.
And when they witness your behavior, they're going to say, well, there's something about this person that I'm interested in. And that's what I always ask people about what they believe. If you tell me you go to a Unity church, or you go to a Seventh-day Adventist church, or you go to a Mormon church, I have some preconceived notions. I've done a lot of studies on religious, comparative religions and whatnot, but because I'm interested in what people believe and why. But I always ask them right out the gate. I don't tell them what I'm all about, and you need to be a Christian, you're going to hell. I think that is just absurd. What I ask them is, that's interesting. What do you believe and why, and how does it affect your life?
Yes.
And you know what? By and large, you're going to find with most people, I hate to say this, they really can't articulate it beyond a couple of sentences because they're really not sure. Most people are really not sure about what they believe, what they're going to the bank with the rest of their life, what's going to happen after they die, and how all that translates back into a fruitful living.
Yes. So we are speaking right now with Randy Hammond, who is the author of Religion Versus Relationship, Discovering the God I Always Knew Was There. So, Randy, what caused you to write this book? You've been doing all sorts of financial work. You know, you've written your other book. So how is it that you ended up writing this book?
The interesting story is that a very gifted New York Times best-selling author helped me to write The Safe Money System. In The Safe Money System, I have a lot of Judeo-Christian ethical thinking, if you will, as it applies to money and your relationship to it and to your family and other people. And as a result of that, we got to be pretty good friends. He's a very devout Jew. In fact, he even wrote The Idiot's Guide to Jewish Spiritualism.
Oh.
And the funny thing is, after meeting me, and please don't take this as arrogant, but he said to me, you need to write another book about relationship instead of religion, because I'm a very devout Orthodox religious Jew, and I can't tell you how twisted emotionally I am in my faith trying to please God. I believe in a Messiah is going to come. I don't really understand what that's all about. But I think you need to write a book about your relationship with God and not your relationship with religion. I think it'll be a blessing to people. So I did.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like, is there the God out there that's punishing, or is it the God that you can connect with within that can help guide you? And I choose to have the God within that I can connect with when I meditate, when I pray. I choose that is a good God that I am making choices about connecting. So that helps me. When I get upset, I stop, I get quiet, I go within, I say, okay, what am I really supposed to be doing? I need to connect with my spiritual side. And then I make a better decision. But, you know, if you're thinking that there is a punishing God out there, unfortunately, then, you got the blame and the guilt, and the guilt and the blame, and the blame and the guilt. So let me ask you something. In chapter one, for example, you have the Godfather. Do you feel like he's a mafia don?
The reason I entitled my first chapter "The Godfather" is because I feel that the Christian God that I believe in, and that I'm banking my existence in this life, conducting myself in this life, and expect a reward in the next life because of my relationship to this person that I'm calling God. In my opinion, it's a person. It's not a substance, a light, an energy. It can be all that. I understand when you, because I can't see him, and you know, so forth. I get that concept of why people believe that. But he made us an offer. The Jewish faith that translated into a fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. God made an offer to people of a free gift where you don't have to do anything other than accept what he did for you, which had been symbolized for thousands of years in the Jewish temple rituals, sacrifices, laws. All of these were a type of what was going to be fulfilled for mankind in the Messiah. Whether that Messiah came 2,000 years ago, like I believe, or the Messiah is coming for those who think he's coming back again for the first time as the Jews do, the point is, God's given us a free gift. And I always call that an offer that's too good to refuse. So that, therefore, that's the Godfather title.
Yes, and for those people who are listening in, whether you're on the campus, whatever religion you have, please know that you know, we honor whatever religion you have. For me, I think all paths lead to the same God spirit, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, there is a power in this whole universe. If you think of all the planets and the stars and everything, I mean, there is an intelligence that created all this. And that is, you know, that we can connect with that. And obviously, Jesus was an incredible way shower to do that. And we've got others like Buddha. And even if you think about, I mean, I just love to think about some of the wonderful mentors that we've had throughout the years, whether it's Gandhi or Mother Teresa. We've got these people who are really connected to God. And when they're really connected to God, look at the wonderful things that they're doing.
Yes.
So let me ask you something. How do you raise sane kids in this insane world?
I know, it's one of the chapters of the book.
Yeah.
You know, the reason we have an insane world, it's a broken world. It's a world of people running around trying to, what I call, cover their own hindsides first and making decisions on how it affects them first and protects them first. And therefore, you know, if you're raising kids between the people across their path, you know, all of us as parents have all these people that are outside of our influence that come across our kids' path. We've got teachers, we've got coaches, music, we've got youth leaders in church or temple. You know, we've got all these different people that can have a very positive or a very negative, destructive behavior towards our kids, right?
And look at the internet. I mean,
well, it's internet, you know, kids go to a church camp and they get molested. They, you know, let's face it, there are a bunch of bad people out there.
There's some real danger everywhere.
What I have done with my children is they're 29, 27, 25, and 21 right now. But when they were little, I sat them down. Now, a lot of people say, oh, this would cause fear in the child. I sat them down and said, here's the deal. There are people out there that are bad people. Now, you're protected by God. God's word says he will look after you because we're going to stay under his protective umbrella rather than sticking our noggins outside and getting wet. But what by doing, by being disobedient, if you will. You know, my kids can't drive a car at 16 years old drunk, and if they run into a tree and kill themselves, that's not God's fault.
Right.
That's their fault. So we have personal responsibility. But in the things that we don't sometimes know how to protect our kids, teach our kids. I told them, there are people out there that are bad people. And those people might say this to you, might molest you, might touch you, might tell you if you ever tell somebody, we'll kill your dog, kill your dad, do this. It's all a lie. Don't let the enemy, which I call the devil, lie to you when God says in his word he'll look after you, and I'm his head over you in this life, and I'll make darn sure that I'll protect you because you reside in the kingdom, if you will, that God gave me, which was my household. So I approached the insanity out there with the sanity of being honest, teaching my kids not to fear, just like I teach my kids when they were playing sports. Don't be afraid of getting hurt. Go out there positively and do the best you can, and guess what? Sometimes you get hurt.
Yeah, yeah. And just, I think when you raise the kids in such a way that they know that they're safe with their family, that
they
really
want to know the truth.
Yeah, that
you know,
helps them, you know, that they know. Yeah, they need to know the truth. They need to know, they need to be taught what to do in these kind of situations. I know I went through this myself with my kids, so I'm with you. You have to talk about, if this happens, this is what you do. And
yes,
to empower them as to how to protect themselves. And not, like you said, not to walk around in fear, but to walk around in faith, but also to really be cognizant of what's going on around you. Because unfortunately, there's some real misguided souls out there. And that's what's so sad, is that I think some of the people that, you know, we talk about that they do bad things or they do evil things, obviously, they are really misguided souls. And,
yeah, and give you a real quick example. What I decided a long time ago is that my kids were going to be told at a very early age that there was no Santa Claus, there was no Easter Bunny, there was no Tooth Fairy, and there was a spirit of fun to be had with all that. But I told them that for the simple reason, what was I going to tell them someday when I say there is no Santa Claus, there is no Tooth Fairy, there is no Easter Bunny, and think of them looking at you and saying, and what about God? I can't see him either.
Right. Then they're going to say, you lied to me, Dad.
There you go. So I told them right out the gate, there's a God, here's how he operates, and there's all these other fun people that are traditional, that are magical, but this is the truth. Again, you've got to lay the truth out. And you know, the great prophet Jesus said, if you get what I'm trying to tell you and understand these precepts, you'll know the truth, and then the truth will set you free. But you got to know the truth.
Yes. And I think for everyone listening here, that whatever religion that you have, if you think it's far from you or you're not connecting with it, think about what Randy's talking about, having a relationship with God, having a relationship that you can feel that support, that nurturing, that power of God that's there for you. And I think if everyone felt that, just what a wonderful world this would be, huh?
Well, I always feel that the relationship with God is fostered and should be fostered by religious tradition and precepts, that those precepts are doing nothing but showing you how to live your life and how to function with each other. But those precepts are not going to get your favor with God. They're just because you can't keep them all.
Yep,
you're going to be falling short. That's what sin means in the Greek, missing the mark or falling short. So religion is very necessary, but it's not necessary to enter into relationship, and it's not necessary whether you're going to go to heaven or hell. That's my point.
Exactly. So we are out of time, Randy, but we're going to tell people about religion versus relationship, and they can look at it at Amazon and see what they think, and they can go to your website. So we're just out of time. You want to just quickly give your website, and then we're going to go.
Well, the website, my general website is thesafemoneysystem.com.
Okay.
Thesafemoneysystem.com. And they can go to Amazon and get either one of my books.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Randy. And you take care. We'll see you very soon, my friend.
Marty, thanks for the opportunity to talk. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. You've been listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine and KUCI.org on the net. I'm Mari Frank. Join us every Monday morning at 8:30 a.m. right here on KUCI, and visit our website at conflicthealing.com. And stay tuned next Monday for Prescriptions for Healing Conflict. Thanks.
It's about trust.
Expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.